Lord, we love you, and we're just asking that you would guide and direct this Sunday school, the words spoken, the words heard. Lord, we want to honor you. We want to enter into your presence. We want to cooperate with you. We want to live your life, Lord. You know what? We're tired of our lives, Lord. We want your life. Teach us how to walk into your life one more step today. Help us to have your heart. Help us to see others through your eyes. But we want to have your heart. Your heart. Your heart, Jesus. Please give us your heart. Amen. How are you this morning? Both of you. Good. Are the rest of you, is there a pulse? Okay. Sorry. Thanks, Tom. I'm glad you were checking that out for me. Okay. I want you to, this is our last session now on witnessing. This is our last class on witnessing this session. And I want to give you a few thoughts, okay? Witnessing is calling folks back to a right relationship with God. Witnessing is calling folks back to a right relationship with God. As a witness, it's like the Bible says in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador, when I was over in Israel or over in Africa, Uganda or Kenya, like when we were in Uganda, we went by where the ambassadors were. There was buildings. It was the embassy of the United States of America, and they would have this plaque out front. And if you were an American citizen, you could go there, and they would represent you and tell you what you could do or help protect you or whatever. We're supposed to be ambassadors for God. This is not our home, folks. If you don't like what's going on in this world, it's okay. We're just passing through. This isn't our home. We're on a journey here. The Bible says we're supposed to be pilgrims. When Sue and I got married, we had made a decision that we were not going to own anything because both of us had the idea that this is not our home and we wanted to be mobile for God. Because one thing I noticed was in the city where we brought our kids up and stuff, there was a Bible college that I went to, and a lot of the guys that had graduated from that Bible college, I would meet them and they would say to me that they, I would say, didn't you graduate? And they go, yeah. I said, well, are you pastoring a church somewhere or something? And they go, no, I'm working at GM. I still got about 8 more years to go to retire. Then I'll go into ministry. I got to pay off a boat. I got to pay off a cabin. I got to do this. I got to do that. Then I'll go. And I thought, is that how God works? Because it just didn't sit inside of me right. And the Bible talks about we're supposed to be like a pilgrim spirit, calling folks back to a right relationship with God. Something that we need to ask people is do they want peace? Think about it. People think they want to go to heaven. I said, but you want to go to heaven, but you don't want to go to God's house now? You don't want anything to do with God now, but then you think you're going to go to his house? And see, I'm not saying that to hurt them. I'm not saying that to judge them. I'm saying that to bring them, kind of like shake them into reality. Hey, you know, shake them into reality, right? And so calling folks back to a right relationship with God, do they want truth? Do they want truth? Do they want peace with God in themselves? Do they want righteousness? Let me give you an idea of what righteousness is. What righteousness is what God says is right, and you know it down inside. Inside, you know what's right. Down inside. Okay, if you're true to yourself. Do they want truth? So when you're talking to people, you could ask them one question. Do you want truth? Well, yeah. Okay. What How much truth do you want? Do you really want truth? Well, yeah, I really want truth. Okay, well, who is Jesus Christ? You see, folks, I want you to understand something different than what I was taught, okay, as a Baptist. As a Baptist, we were given these verses, and you just take these people with the verses, and you say, Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, okay? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned come short of the glory of God, okay? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, you got that? Okay, Romans 5:8, but God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You got that? Romans 10:9. You see, and we would do this like slapping people with the truth and saying, you got that? You got that? And they all, do you know what people do when you start telling them the truth? My left arm's going dead. Man. Here.
Come here, sweetie. You were a good teacher.
She's awake. Oh, my arm. You can sit. Hey, brother, thanks for letting me do that. Because I was doing that for a reason. I wasn't doing that to be funny, but I was doing that to get your attention because that's what I was basically taught to do. You hit somebody with the truth, you hit somebody with a verse, and now they just go, yeah, you're right. But in their heart, they're not necessarily making choices for God. You're telling them something, but when we go to witness, it's not, please get this, it's not about you being right and straightening somebody out. If you're doing that, you're not witnessing for God. You're trying to win an argument. And by the way, if you're married, you never win an argument. Even if you think you won. Even if you think you won, you didn't win. Because guess what? He might be quiet, but you didn't change his heart. He might be quiet because it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a contentious and an angry woman. What I'm saying is, when we go to witness, it's not winning an argument. It's not straightening somebody out. It's not like one of my teenagers told the person at the door one time, okay, go to hell then. If you're not going to do what I'm showing you, then go to hell. Time out. You might ask them one question. Do you want truth? And realize when you say stuff, people are going to respond. Have you ever noticed how when I say stuff, it messes with you? Okay? You're going to respond, but more like you're going to react. Now, after, when you get away from them, they have to think about what you said. That's why we want to plant seed thoughts of truth. God loves you. Just like you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. He loves you. But do you know what? He loves every single person in hell. And he goes and visits them. But they are not even aware of his presence. And he goes and cries over them. He loves you. That's why he was so moved. He left his home to come die for you. See, you know about that, but have you ever entered into that? Have you ever admitted, Jesus, I needed you to die for me? I'm the one who killed you with my sin. And see, when you give somebody a thought, are you listening to me? When you give somebody a truth, or you ask them a question, back up and give God time to work in them on that. They may react. Okay, I have them react like that to me. A lot. In the past, I haven't had it a whole lot lately for quite a while now, but except with y'all. But it's like people will react. But if you give them a truth, remember I told you about the hit man? And he shoved his finger in my face? Said, I don't want to hear about that no more. My mom didn't raise any fools live in Michigan. You don't want to hear about that? That's fine. Okay? And I left. A year later, he came to my door. I've been driving back from California for the last 4 days just praying you hadn't moved. You're the only guy I know that can get me to Jesus. I couldn't quit thinking about those words you gave me, the Word of God. Please turn to 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The message we need to give people is the Word of God. I heard a story about a man. I've done the same thing. Went to witness to a man. And he gave him a verse. I think it was John 3:36. And the man said, yeah, but blah, 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 blah. And he goes, and he quoted John 3:36 to him again. And the guy goes, yeah, but blah, 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 blah. And he goes, John 3:36. And after a while, the guy said, don't you know any other verse? He said, you haven't done anything with that one yet. When the man got mad, didn't want to talk to him anymore. 2 weeks later, they met again, and he said, I needed that verse. He said, that verse worked in me. You don't have to unload the whole cart on somebody at one time. Just a thought. Do you want truth? Yeah. What do you think truth is? Can I show a verse to you? John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. He is not a truth. He is the truth. Do you want truth? Well, I've gone to church for stuff. How'd that work for you? You said you used to. Did Jesus quit? Did Jesus give up on you? Did Jesus change? Did he quit loving you? Oh. Let's see. Let me just ask you a question. Were you operating in the kingdom of pride or the kingdom of humility? Right. Well, I'm just saying, but you don't have to tell somebody. You ask them the question. Ask people questions that makes them think. 1 Peter 1:23. Okay, and it's the Word of God, because I want you to get this, okay? Look at verse 25 in 1 Peter 1. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In order for somebody to get saved, for you to be born, are you listening to me? You started as a seed. For somebody to get born again, they start as a seed. And it is a seed thought planted in them. A seed, the Word of God. Remember the parable of the sower? It says, Jesus said, the sower went forth to sow. And when he gave the interpretation, he said, the seed is the Word of God. Okay? Jeremiah 23, 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? The wheat is the Word of God, the chaff. So we could have a dream, that can come and go. But the Word liveth forever. That's what people need, is the Word. Okay? Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The Spirit makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. Please don't be a Harvey in the past where you try to persuade people and argue them and overtalk them and talk louder when they try to talk. If they, so often for a while now, God has been teaching me. They start to talk and I want to say something, because I don't know about you, but people poke a hole in my balloon, dude. As soon as they start talking, especially if they got lies coming out of their mouth, I want to say something. Don't you know? If I did it right. Don't you know? Does that help anybody? Not come to God. I mean, if you're trying to get them to run, that'll help. Okay. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now watch what Jesus said, John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. The words are spirit, and the words are life. They need the word of God. I just can't get over all the people that I've witnessed to, giving them the word, and then they come back because you give them the word. And there's times God will say, just ask them one question. I ask them one question. They do not like me. They react to me. But over the little bit of time, God works in their hearts to bring them to truth. Witnessing. We are ambassadors. We're supposed to be Christians, like a bridge between God and man. We're supposed to be trying to help them get to God. Amen. Not straighten them out, not get them to become members of Burning Bush. Helping them get to God. A soft answer turns away wrath. People start yelling at you. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I went to the store this week to get a Subway downtown. I've only been there one other time. Everybody there laughed at my jokes. So I thought it was a safe place to go. You know, they all like me. And my humor is welcomed here. And there was a lady behind the counter. Well, she was female. And I walked in, and I looked at her face, and I said, oh, they said you'd be smiling. And I turned around to look, and she's like, give me this look. And I'm like, okay, here we go, Lord, you know. And the other ones are already smiling. They're like attracted like bees around honey because they knew I was there like a few days before. And they were like, she was going, oh, this guy's the funny guy. This is that, oh, he's, you know, this is cool, whatever, you know. But this one woman, and we get down here, and the one that liked my humor said, I think she's sick. So I went down there and I said, I'm sorry. I said, are you feeling okay? And she goes, yeah, I'm okay. You were just so, no, yeah. She said something like that. Proud something. I don't remember what the word she used. Whatever. I don't know. I don't need all of y'all to confess my sin. Okay. What are those words that come to me when I think of Brother Harv? No. See, you're supposed to be praying for me, not praying on me as a group. Okay. Now, I could tell. I was feeling the love, you know. Et tu, Brute? Sticking a... Okay.
We love you.
Well, I'd rather have the Jesus kind of love. Okay. And so when she goes, you're proud or arrogant, that was the word. You were so arrogant. And I'm like, I said, ma'am. And you know what I said? Because is it about me defending myself? What? Did I want to get her to Jesus or not? I mean, that's the bottom line. So how's it going to do that? The Bible says, agree with thine adversaries, your enemy, quickly. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I said, will you forgive me? Forgiveness is a gift. It's a legal choice. Will you make a choice to give me a gift of forgiveness? I don't deserve it, but I need it. Okay, what I'm saying to you is, we're wanting to win people to Jesus. Isn't, don't we? Is that what we want to do? I mean, really? Seriously? Okay. All right. Good. All right. So let's give them the word of God. But when you say something, ask God, God, what should I say? Okay? If you're thinking, I'm not sure if I should say this, don't say it. If you go to say it, does this sound like Jesus? Because if it starts off like this, it's not Jesus. Do you understand? If it starts off like this, it's not Jesus. If it starts off like this, it's not Jesus. You know what I'm saying? If it starts off with arguing, it's not Jesus. Don't say that. And if you sin, like I did, admit it. Humble yourself. What she's doing is she's wanting to witness. Okay. Calling folks back to a right relationship with God. Do you want truth? Do you want peace with God and self? What if you just ask that? Do you want peace? Do you need peace between you and God? How about do you need peace with yourself? A lot of people have guilt, shame, all this. Do you need peace with yourself? And guess what? Maybe that's all you're going to say. Because that's all they can handle right now. They need to think on that. I remember I had Paula's husband, and we went up to Baldwin, Michigan, or somewhere up that direction, to fix a tub years ago. And God was teaching me what I'm trying to teach you. Don't just run through people through a bunch of verses and say, bop, 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 bop. Understand? Yeah. They may understand what you're saying because you're speaking English. But that doesn't mean they really get it. That doesn't mean it's done its work inside of them. Okay? And we got to the end. So I go to witness to this girl. I witness in the house. I talked about God, and they were all like, yeah, we go to church. Yeah, yeah, we love Jesus. And I'm like, okay. And I got done, and I left. And when I left, three young people followed Scott and I outside. And one of them was this girl, and a teenage girl that was like a neighbor or something. She was about 15 years old, something like that. And she had this look on her face, and I talked to them more about God, started to leave, and she said, please don't leave yet. And this girl was like somebody who didn't talk. She was like really shy and introverted. And she goes, please don't leave yet. And I'm like, Lord? And he's like, she's needing what you're talking about. And I'm like, do you know Jesus? And anyway, I gave verses. And then I asked, do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. What do you understand? Do you hear what I just said?
Yep.
Okay, I want to give you a key for your own life. Because after today, I'm going to start preaching over there. And Sue's going to start doing Sunday school. I think she's going to do inner healing. But one of the things I want to talk about is, how do you all want God. Every one of you wants God. How do you get more? How do you enter into it more? How do you go further, faster? What God taught me with this girl, this is about witnessing. But I just remember it like it was yesterday, right? Maybe a week ago. Anyway. And I remember Scott standing there. We were standing out behind my truck. Two other teenagers? One other teenager? Now, there's two other teenagers. I think there were boys, and then there was this girl that was an introvert, and she's the one that God had me stay there for. And I said, do you understand what I'm saying? I said, what do you understand? And I'm giving you that as a key. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying you may want to ask this to people. You're going to want to ask people, do you understand what I'm saying? And they go, they'll all do this because of pride. Because of pride. They don't want to look stupid. And they think they understand what you're saying because it's all, they're getting it in their head, but it hasn't jumped inside of them yet. It hasn't got birthed down in here yet. It's not alive down here. They've just got it up here. Yeah, I understand. I can read a dictionary. Uh-huh. I've read Dick and Jane and Fluff and Spot. Uh-huh. I didn't make it up. Those little books we read when I was a kid. Right, me too. Now watch, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? And she would go like this. And I said, what do you understand? What do you understand about sin? Three questions. What do you understand about self? Dana just said it. I can't do anything. I can't save myself. Because see, in the beginning I said, what do you understand about yourself? Well, I need to start going to church. Okay, But that, does going to church get you to heaven? If it did, then Jesus didn't need to die, did it? Did he? But you see, she's on the path. But she's not there yet. Do you understand? She hasn't walked in the door yet. Do you understand? What do you understand? And then they start, what did he say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They start trying to repeat my words to me. I had it with another lady. I can remember the same scenario. I had it with this guy on a bicycle. When I rode a bicycle to Toronto and we were preparing for that, I said it to this guy. And he was in a church and he was going with a church group. But he was on his way to hell. He didn't know God. And there's a lot of people in church that don't know God. A church is a hospital for sinners. They're here hearing. They're here to get help. They're here because they want to enter into the house of God. They know it's right. They're seeking. Do you understand what I'm saying? What do you understand? I got an answer. I'm giving you a key. When you hear someone speaking about God, when you hear someone preaching, and they're saying something, and you're thinking, yeah, I understand. Make it a prayer. God, I want what they're saying. God, I want to understand that. God, I want to live that. I want to break agreement with what I've been doing. When you feel guilty, break agreement with that guilt. Hey, I don't want that living in me anymore. I now see it. I've been wrong. I've had the wrong attitude, the wrong actions, the wrong words, the wrong spirit. I'm breaking agreement with that. And I've just been presented the truth. Hey, I want the truth. Jesus, please remove the root and the seed of that lie out of me. And Jesus, now please come fill me with your blood. 1 John 1:9, of forgiveness and cleansing. Forgiving me forever receiving this, believing this, and living this. And now please cleanse me from the effect of it. And fill that void where that root system was with your life's blood, Jesus, because I only want you living in me. Do you get it? It's so simple. You don't, I'm telling you, when I start talking about sin and I watch people go, everybody starts dropping their heads. Everybody wants to look away. It's like, why? Somebody talks about sin. It's like, okay, come on. I want to hear about this because if I got something somewhere, because I don't see stuff all the time. I'm sorry if y'all can all see it. I can't help it. But when I see it, then I confess it. You understand? I break agreement with it. Well, when you're witnessing to somebody, you say to them, do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, what do you understand? And I asked that girl, and she said, well, I understand this or I understand that. And she was on the path toward God. You know, I need to go to church. I need to straighten up. Okay, she's on the path toward God, but she ain't got it yet. And then all of a sudden, as I'm talking, and I start sharing more of the truth of God, all of a sudden she goes like this. Oh! It was like I just watched her. It was like, it must have been in the spirit, because I don't know if she was all demonstrative like me. But in the spirit, I saw all of a sudden she became alive. Because all of a sudden she got it. It got quickened, made alive, because she was breaking agreement. Oh, I see. This is a lie that I've been believing. This is the truth. And it makes you alive. Okay? I'm not picking on anybody in here, but a number of you have been in church, fallen away, and then you're coming back. Okay? A lot of people are like that. Why did they fall away? Because they didn't have a foundation of truth. There was truths they didn't have. Maybe they were living for God in the flesh. They were all excited. But you've got to get past just being all excited because there's going to be a lot of hard stuff. There's foundation. I'm a foundational apostle. I talk about foundations all the time. I want to make you solid. So when the strong winds come and the hurricanes and the tornadoes, when it's all past, you're still going to be standing because you're going to have roots. That's what we want. Okay? Acts 22:15. Here, let's just do a few more verses real quick. I'll see if I can just read the verses. Acts 22:15 says, For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. What has God done for you? Tell that to other people. You don't have to know every Bible verse. You don't have to, you know, tell them everything you know. You don't got to try to explain the Apostles' Creed. All you need to do is, has Jesus done something for you? The woman at the well. She goes back and tells she's had five husbands, and the guy she's now living with is not her husband. And Jesus is dealing with her. And she goes back and says, come, off to all these guys that she slept with. Hey, come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one we've been waiting on? She was a whore. She was an adulteress. She was a slut. But she met Jesus. And Jesus loved her. He said, let's deal with truth. Because he brought the truth right up to her that she had to deal with it. But instead of justifying, arguing, defending, explaining, excusing, and blame shifting, she owned it and said, you're right. I'm wrong. And then you know what? She had his forgiveness. She had his cleansing. She had peace with God. She was full of joy. And you know what? Then she went and said, Hey, guy! I know I slept with you last week, but guess what, guy? I just met Jesus! He just did something inside of me! I'm all different! And the guy's like, okay, I don't know what she's up to. Maybe we're going to a party, but let's go. So then he goes and he listens to Jesus, and the whole city turned to Jesus because of this woman. God is not finished with you. You haven't sinned past his forgiveness. Do you understand? He loves you. You understand? The guy that was full of demons, as soon as the demons came out, can I go hang out with you, Jesus? And he said, I want you to go back and tell everybody what God did for you. And he went and told him what Jesus did for him. Because Jesus is God. And the only way to God is through Jesus. Folks, witnessing, telling people, God bless you on purpose, what God has done for you. Telling people what God has done for you. You trying to get people back to God. You trying to get people back to God. It's not about you. When we go, you cross over a bridge and you get to the next land, you don't say, what a wonderful bridge. Who cares about the bridge? It was just what got you from one place to another. Forget about yourself. Exalt him. It's not about you. How many of you, your testimony is, I didn't even like Harvey, but he got me to Jesus. Now I love him. I still don't like him sometimes, but I love him because he got me to Jesus. It's not about the bridge. It's about where we're getting them, and that's to Jesus. Do you understand? We're not trying to win friends. They're going to say hateful things to you. Please look at me. They're going to say hateful things to you. If you want to, read Matthew 10, because that's going to warn you of what's going to happen. People are going to reject you. And then you're going to go, why would they do that to me? And God's like, didn't I tell you before? I told Pastor Harvey to have you read Matthew chapter 10. It's right there. He said, if they did it to the master, what do you think they're going to do to the servant of the master? Do you understand? We want to get them to Jesus. Jesus, help me to see others through your eyes. Jesus, give me your heart for other people. And Jesus, help me to be faithful. When you give me a thought, I ought to witness. I ought to hug somebody. You sure didn't get that from the devil. Just cooperate. But I don't know what to say. When you go, he'll give you the words to say. I was just reading those verses. He said, don't even think about what you're going to say ahead of time. Just go. He said, my spirit will speak through you. But I've been witnessing it. They've taken, you know, they get mad. They call me names. They say all kinds of stuff. I've been witnessing this person for years. How long did he give up on you? Or did he keep pursuing you? Now, he may tell you, back off. He's told me that a lot of times. Back off. Give them space. Some of you in this room, when I met you, he showed me, and then he said, now, back off. Don't say a word because they're not ready to hear yet. Just love them. Do you understand? This is a rebellious nation. You are going to witness to 100 people, and you might see 5 come in one stay. Do you understand? A rebellious nation. That doesn't mean we quit talking to them. Well, fine, go to hell then. Yeah. I told you about the house. God had me go in, and God said, he's a damaged veteran. I went to the bathroom to pray about doing his tub and said, open the door for me to talk to him. And God said, you can't talk to him. I said, but Lord, what do you mean? He said, he's already made an eternal choice. I said, but Lord, in my spirit, he said, that means he's on his way to, and I started to say hell. And he goes, that's right. And I'm like, what did you send me here for? He said, because I still love him. And all I want you to do is just love him. But you can't talk to him. When that man stands before God and says, but, and God says, show him the video. I sent a tub glazer in that home who loved you with my love, who I loved through you. And he asked me, and he's going to show him right on the video. He said he wanted to talk to you, but you had already made a choice and you had shut it down. Just like King Herod cut off the head of John the Baptist. And when Jesus came to stand before Herod, Jesus did not answer a word. You know why? Because he cut off the mouthpiece of God to him. You don't get to pick and choose when you get saved. Do you understand? God's dealing with somebody right now. There are consequences. Somebody not listening. Now, that doesn't mean you need to tell them, okay, turn or burn, you know. You know what I mean? We don't ever do that. But I'm saying that seriously, though. I'm telling you, be wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. And I'm going to let you know something. When you witness, like what I'm talking about, you're going to get to know God better because they're going to hurt you and they're going to say things about you and to you and call you names and give you looks. And then if you learn to turn to the Holy Spirit and get to know him as the comforter, oh, my word, he is so precious. They hurt me, and he's like, starts kissing me, run his fingers through my few little hairs I have left. I'm telling you, it is so precious. Okay? I love you, and I'm so glad you're here. Jesus, you are worthy. You are so awesome. You are so kind. Lord, you never give up on us. Even when we give up on you, call you names, get mad, you never give up on us. You are so awesome. And I'm sorry that you've had to suffer with our manners as we've walked through the wilderness. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for wanting to forgive us. Lord, I commit each one into your hands, especially Kaylee, so that we would witness unto you, witness about you and what you've done for us to others. Just share Jesus with others. Thank you, Lord. You're awesome. Looking forward to what you're going to do. Amen.